Being today, Mr. Anand Bhattacharya at his home in Overland Park for the Mosaic Project. And Anand has been kind enough to meet with me today and to share some of his life stories. And I guess we can just kind of start our conversation a little bit with some of these initial sample questions, Anand, if it's all right with you. What is your age?
71
young years. And your religious affiliation is?
Hinduism.
And where were you born?
I was born in India, in the state of West Bengal.
Okay. And we don't have to stick to these specific questions, but I think by answering them, it might just kind of let us flow into the storytelling mode.
Mm-hmm.
What was your life like where you were born in India?
Life like? Well, you know, I was born in a kind of middle class family. My father was a physician.
Yes.
And I think in the early days of my life, I was born in a small town, pretty close to a big city, Calcutta. And we didn't have all the facilities in those days, you know, big city facilities, but we had schools, so I used to go to the local school, and after my high school, then I went to a college in Calcutta, and after finishing my junior college, I went to the engineering college, also in Calcutta.
Okay.
And finished my engineering degree over there. So.
And then how did you come to move to the Kansas City area?
Okay, that's really a long story. To make it short, after my graduation, I was working in different projects in India. And the last project, or last employer, was International General Electric Company. And that was an Indian subsidiary organization of International General Electric Company of New York. So I was with them for almost 6 years and became one of their senior engineers. But unfortunately, their business was kind of going down in India. They're not getting very many orders because India started producing its own heavy electrical equipment. So they gave me a notice, a pig slip in other words.
Mm-hmm.
So then I talked to their management, and the general manager, he told me that if I would come to America, then he would find a position for me in the International General Electric Company, New York. So then he also talked to the personnel manager here in New York, and then he gave me some encouraging words about my job in America, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why I came to America, to New York, and then met those people there. Unfortunately, at that time, GE had a nationwide labor strike. So that was a big strike, and so the personnel manager of International General Electric Company told me to wait till the labor strike is settled. But, you know, I couldn't afford to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to a foreign country with limited dollar in my pocket, I couldn't wait, and of course my wife was in England at that time, and she also, her visa was about to expire, so she had to come to New York, and we had a small boy, 6-year-old boy. So I told International General Electric Company that I couldn't wait indefinitely, but they couldn't help me, you know, because of the strike situation. Then I came in contact with Black & Veatch in New York. I talked to their manager, and he was, he looked at my you know, we talked about my experience and all that. And he said, well, yeah, I think Black & Veatch would be interested in your qualification, but you have to go to Kansas City, because that's where all the hiring is done.
It's their headquarters.
Headquarters, yeah. So then, I came from New York to Kansas City, and then I met the people here, and they interviewed me. Several people interviewed me. The head of the electrical engineering department was very interested in my qualification after talking to me. And then he asked me to come the following day, you know, next day. So I went there and talked to him, and then he made me an offer.
And this was what year?
That was 1969.
So you've made your home here for...
Yes.
30 years.
Then I started working for Black & Veatch, and I found that was a very nice organization, you know. I liked the organization, and obviously they liked me. So they gave me a lot of challenging work, a lot of responsibilities right from the beginning. So I was very pleased. So I called the International General Electric Company later on, and after 2 weeks, and I told them, thank you very much for everything you have done. I'm going to stay in Kansas City. So I was with Black & Veatch from that time on until 1995. After almost 26 years, I retired.
What did you, in the course of the last 30 years living here as an American, and I assume you became an American?
Yes.
And raised your family here. What were some of the more difficult aspects of becoming part of the American life for you?
Well, you know, this question has been asked before, and I really, somehow, I don't know, I've been able to adapt in this country rather easily, without much problem. You know, I mean, my colleagues in Black & Veatch, they were extremely helpful. Initially, of course, you know, this being a new place, I needed a lot of help. The Black & Veatch people were extremely helpful to me to get accustomed to this this climate of work. So I had absolutely no problem. You know, I wish I had something to tell you, but...
Well, I'm looking for something that's not there.
Yeah, but I really didn't have any much problem.
Is your name Anand, is that a common name in India?
Yes.
Does that have a particular meaning?
Oh, yes.
What is the meaning of your name?
Anand means bliss.
Bliss?
Bliss. And Bhattacharya also, my last name is Bhattacharya, even though it's a big name.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes people have some difficulty with my last name. Bhattacharya also has a meaning. If you want to know that, I can...
Sure,
talk.
Please. Okay.
Bhattacharya is actually, it's a combination of two words, Bhatta and Acharya. And it's a Sanskrit word.
Mm-hmm.
Sanskrit, you know Sanskrit.
It's the ancient language
ancient
of India.
Ancient Hindu languages. So, Acharya means professor, teacher, Acharya. And Bhatta is someone who studies scriptures. So, my ancestors were priests, you know,
religious
teachers.
Leaders. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some kind of religious teachers. So that is why we got this last name, Bhattacharya.
Are you aware of the family background that might have been the priesthood in your background, or is that many generations ago?
Well, I would say probably my father was a physician, as I said. My grandfather used to work for the government.
Yes.
But my great grandfather was a priest.
So this is your interest in the Hindu religion today is deeply rooted in your family history then.
I would say so. Yes.
Well, that's very interesting. Do you have, and I know you've given this a little thought before my coming here, Have there been some particular events from your childhood that have influenced you in a powerful way that you can recall?
Well, you know, what I recall, I wanted to become an engineer, and not only engineer, electrical engineer. I think one reason is when I was a young boy, I used to read all kinds of stories, and some of the stories that kind of fascinated me, you know, you push a switch and the roof will move, you know, those kinds of stories. I was kind of fascinated. I thought that probably electrically, as an electrical engineer, I will build a house where I can move my roof with the push of a button. That did not happen. But I remember I wanted to become an electrical engineer because in my high school, there was a book, The Wonders of the Past and Present. That was the name of the book. We read that book. That was a part of our syllabus. And at the last page, there was a page, and a lot of professions were listed there and said, what do you want to be? And I marked electrical engineer. So, you know, I mean, I'm not even high school, I think that was in a junior school. So even
13,
in junior,
14 years old.
Yeah, even in junior school, I knew that I would be an electrical engineer.
And, I think that you've given some thought to particular experiences, maybe from your childhood or adult life, that that moved you in a very significant way. And I'm wondering if perhaps you'd be kind enough to share a few of those things today.
I mean,
Or perhaps your reaction to a very challenging situation in life, or something of deep interest to you, either of a religious nature or...
In my childhood?
Childhood or adulthood?
Adulthood. Well, you know, actually, I was...
Something that moved your life and changed it forever.
Actually, you know, I knew what I wanted to be, and of course my parents were very supportive of everything, you know, I wanted to do.
Right.
So really my father was a physician, and of course maybe he wanted me to be a physician, but when I told him that I would like to be an electrical engineer, he said, yeah, whatever you want to be, it's your life.
Yes.
But of course then I went to engineering college, I graduated, and really, I mean, there are certain things I'm going to talk about here. These are all kind of maybe minor incidents,
sure,
you might say, but this these stories have some major impact in my life.
Thank you. That's exactly what we're looking to share.
Yeah. Okay, any other question or shall I start?
Please, go ahead.
Okay, well, the first story I have here, excuse me, you know, I came to this community in 1969, and of course there are a lot of immigrants from India, they came around that time. So before 1980, the Hindu community and Sikh, we have a Sikh community here too, we were very close together, these two, Hindu community and Sikh community, because...
Do those two religious communities have some historical ties together?
Right, that's true. Because we came from the same country, and we have a common history. And as you probably know, or you might have read, that Guru Nanak was a Hindu, then he of course founded the Sikh religion. So Hindus and Sikhs have a lot of commonalities between them. So we were very close. before or up to 1980s. Then what happened was there was a separatist movement in India. The Sikhs wanted a separate homeland for the, not all, I mean some of them. Mm-hmm. They wanted to go out of India, you know, and divide the country and get Punjab as their state, I mean the nation, independent state. And India was of course not willing to divide the country again on the basis of religion, because there was a division in 1947 when the British left. The
Pakistan.
Yeah, Pakistan was mm-hmm. created by dividing India. And India did not want to divide the land anymore.
Right.
So of course there was some resistance on behalf of India. Of course the majority were Hindus. So anyway, when that movement started, then that had some impact on the local communities everywhere, I would say. Mm-hmm. You know. So that friendship that was between the Sikh community and the community, there was some crack there.
Yes.
Crack started developing. Okay. And things got worse when Indira Gandhi was assassinated by her Sikh bodyguard.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That was in 1984. Now, of course, that impacted us also, you know.
So that's 15 years after you had come here, but you still had really strong family ties to your native country.
To my country, yes. To India, you mean? Yes, of course. My mother was still living at then. Now, what happened was, we have an organization here in Kansas City. It's called India Association of Kansas City. Now there, of course, before 1980s, before this, the separate homeland for Sikhs, the movement started. As I said, Hindus and Sikhs were together. We used to in India Association, we used to work together for our community, and in our annual function, we used to have an annual function. We used to all, you know, work together. But then after 1980s. Things started almost breaking up a little bit. So anyway, what I was telling, the story here is, this India Association organized a meeting, memorial meeting, when Indira Gandhi was assassinated. Of course, mostly Sikhs boycotted that meeting, because they thought that Hindus will blame the Sikhs for this. Somehow they had the feeling. So they did not come to this meeting except one person. And he was a very good friend of mine. He was Sikh, but he was a very good friend of mine. So the meeting started, and many of us, I also spoke in that meeting, expressing our grief, our sorrow for the assassination of Prime Minister of India. Mm. And we also, you know, just said that probably, you know, we should all try to get together and... So a lot of people, you know, we all spoke there. Then at the end, and this is what struck me, the Sikh gentleman, he went to the podium, and this is what he said: on behalf of all Sikhs, I offer apology for the assassination of Indian Prime Minister Indira Gandhi by a Sikh bodyguard. So he apologized on behalf of
his people. Yeah,
yes.
Religion.
And that really impressed us very much. Because mm-hmm. I thought that was an act of courage.
Yes.
And because of his statement, of course he took a lot of heat from his community, but I still remember that he really showed an act of courage
And that really, really struck you at that
time? That really struck me.
Is he still living?
Oh yeah, he's still living, and now of course Hindus and Sikhs, we are
all together again.
Yeah, that problem is
friendly. Yeah,
yeah, we are all friendly, but just for a short period of time, when that movement was going on,
it took great courage for him to do that.
Yes, yeah, it really took some courage, and as I said, he took some heat from his community because of this. But I thought that was really a great act of courage.
It sounds like it had the effect that he wanted.
Yes.
He wanted to not have a rupture between the two.
That's right. And
religious groups.
Yeah. And I have another story that I will tell you how we really got together.
Okay.
Again.
Well, please continue with that, if you have given that some thought.
Okay, this is the second story. This was in 1986.
And this happened here in Kansas City?
Kansas City. All stories are in Kansas City.
Good.
This is in 1986. I was the president of Hindu temple. Of course, at that time, the temple was not built. It was under construction.
And where was it? Where were you meeting at that time?
Okay. At that time, we were meeting...
Paint me a picture in words of what it was like then.
Okay. Well, during the construction of the temple, we used to do, we used to meet once a month in a community center. Most of the time we met in the Lenexa community center, senior center, senior center. We used to meet there once a month on Sunday morning. And we used to have our services and devotional songs, devotional singing, devotional songs were the part of service. So we used to have some services there once a month. And then of course, excuse me, then we used to also raise funds for the temple. And so that's the way, you know, we Hindus were meeting and then raising funds also and talking about the progress of our temple and etc. etc.
How would you characterize the community, Hindu community here in Kansas City at that time?
Well, of course...
How large was it?
Community was not very big at that time. I think at that time our community was probably about 500 families strong.
Mm-hmm.
500 families strong, and of course not everybody would go there, you know, for our monthly service, but a lot of people used to go there, and then we used to talk about the temple and you know, and the progress of the temple and where we stand now, and also we used to raise money for the temple and so forth. The community was very supportive of building this temple. And there were some people who were really very, very dedicated. They not only donated a lot of money, they also donated a lot of time and a lot of energy so that we could complete our project. And somehow they made me the first president of Hindu temple. And, you know, I was honored by that. And I became the president in 1982, that's when we first thought of building this temple. That's when we first got this, the IRS, you know, all this paperwork was done, and we got the...
Not-for-profit state.
A not-for-profit organization from the state of Kansas, and also IRS tax-exempt status and all that. That's all we got in 1982, and that's the time when I became the president. And then I continued until 1988, when the first phase construction was done. So then they let me go.
And the temple is where now? Where
as in 63rd and Lakman, in the city of Shawnee.
Okay.
So
that's just across from the Johnson County Historical Museum.
Yes, that's right.
I know
that's just across the.
Right.
Yeah. You will see probably the building.
Right.
There now.
Beautiful
yeah.
building.
Yeah. Okay, so, but anyway, during this time, 1986, we were getting together once a month, the Hindu community getting together once a month for our services in a community center. And of course, in those days, one family used to sponsor that service. And by that, that family's responsibility was to call some other families and prepare some food for the congregation.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that was the sponsorship. So each family used to take in turn, you know, just service for this month or the next month. Or they used to do that. Now, at that time, that was in 1986, you know, that because of that movement, separatist movement in India, Hindus and Sikhs were still kind of apart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then in one of the services, in one service, I saw one Sikh gentleman coming in our service. So that was, I was a little bit surprised, but it was a pleasant surprise for me. And that gentleman was very prominent in the Sikh community. So he came and he joined our services.
Mm-hmm.
So he and I, we sat together. And then we had the services, so. And then he heard the devotional songs, you know, the devotional song, singing devotional songs is a part of our service.
And do you have your services on Sunday or what?
Yeah, now we have on almost all days. In every day there is some services in the temple, yes. But now, of course, you have a priest and he does all the services. But mm-hmm. in those days, we used to sing the devotional songs. Now this gentleman, he told me, you know, I see a lot of commonalities between your devotional songs and our devotional song. In other words, we also sing about the same songs. And I was very pleased to hear that, you know. So then he said, well, I will also be a sponsor family. So I gave him a date, you know. So he was the sponsor family. That means that he would cook food and he would bring the food for the congregation. Let me see if I'm... So, on that particular day, he was the sponsor family. He came with his family and he offered his worship service. At the end of that service, he talked about rebuilding the friendship between the Sikh community and the Hindu community.
Now, was this the same man as you mentioned before, or a different man?
No, it's a different man.
Different man.
He's a different man. And I would like to say that we, the members of the Hindu community, were deeply impressed by his taking this kind of initiative,
mm-hmm.
by coming to our service.
And showing honor and respect for what?
Respect for our service and then offering his services for another day, being to be a sponsor family. I think that was very impressive. And I think to some extent the relationship between the Sikh community, Hindu community, became much better.
When he offered the service and the singing and prayers and whatever, was he doing it according to the Hindu custom or according to
the Sikh? And actually there are, as far as these devotional songs are concerned, there are many commonalities between their songs and Hindu songs, you know. So, because I have gone to their temple also, and that at a much later date.
Mm-hmm.
When they built their temple, we built our temple, then, you know, now we have built the bridges between the community. But this man, the reason I still remember it, this man took the initiative, came to our service, and then he had his own service. I think that he built the bridge between the two communities.
And has that had long-lasting effects in the minds of the people in your temple?
Now we are back together. Now these two communities are friends. As a matter of fact, just the last Saturday, I was invited to a wedding reception. It's a reception, not the wedding. Wedding reception. This gentleman who apologized for the Sikh community in that... His son got married to an American girl, white American girl. Mm-hmm. And this was the party. So this is a reception. Actually, the marriage took place in Washington, D.C. A couple of months ago. So he threw the party, you know, the reception party. Well, he invited me. And there are a lot of Sikhs and Hindus there. And he asked a Hindu gentleman to offer some prayers before eating. And that was very nice. And now I think that we are close again.
Well, it's really, I think it's so important now at this time in history for the religions to start honoring and respecting and finding commonalities with one another rather than focusing on their differences all the time.
Sure.
And I know that you've been involved in the Pathways group for a while now.
Yes, yes.
With Gene Flannery.
Yeah.
Do you have any stories or things that you'd like to share about that? Because
Pathways, you mean?
He's a Christian man, I think, and he's started a group that you're involved in.
Yes. Well, he proposed. He actually came to our temple one day, like this Sikh gentleman mm-hmm. came to our service, and he showed a lot of interest, in the services to learn more about our religion. Actually, he invited me to his church to give a talk on Hinduism. Mm. Yeah, which I went there, I did, and I met some people there, and they're very nice people. So then,
and what was the church? It's near the Maranatha Academy out there, right?
That's on
Lackman
and Shawnee Mission Parkway. Let's see.
It's just down the road from where your temple
is. Yes. I'm just forgetting the name of the church. That's a big church. Yeah.
I can't think of it either, but I know where it is. Yeah. Just south of Shawnee Mission Parkway there.
Yeah, that's right. We are on the north side of Shawnee Mission Parkway. And
he's about as far south.
Yeah, that's on the south side. Well, then he impressed me because I saw that he had a lot of interest in our religion and he wanted to join with us and form a group. So he invited us in his church. So we went there, first Hindus and Christians, we got together through his initiative. Of course, mm-hmm. he took the initiative. And then we had our Diwali festival. Diwali festival is a big Hindu festival. So we invited the church people and they came and we had a good time together. And that's how it all started. And then, of course, nowadays we are having our monthly meeting. And then, of course, annually we have our annual dinner and annual picnic.
Is this of the Pathways group or the temple?
No, Pathway group.
Pathway group.
Yeah. Okay, now let me tell you two more stories.
Oh, yes. Wonderful. Okay, we'll start again.
Okay. Now, this is in 1987. I was still the president of Hindu temple. Now, just the day before our regular monthly service, I talked about our monthly service in the community center. Our temple was still under construction, 1987. The construction, first phase of construction completed in 1988. But anyway, this is the story is in 1987. Just the day before our normal monthly service, I got a call from a reporter of a radio station. He wanted to interview me as a president of Hindu temple and ask some questions. So he called me and said, I would like to go there and interview you. Is it okay? I said, yeah, okay. So I agreed, and then the following day, the service, usual service, was all done. And then at the end of the service, the reporter showed up with another man. So, you know, service was over at that time, so we sat all together. Then this reporter started asking questions, and he was tape recording also, mm-hmm. all our conversations. So he started asking questions, how big is the local Hindu community, why we are building the temple, you know, how...
Was this from a local newspaper?
He said a radio station. I don't exactly remember, because this was quite some time ago, but I thought this was a local radio station, because at the end of the interview he told me that we could hear the voice on station number such and such. So, anyway, so he started asking questions, how are we raising the funds, and you know, what the schedule of our temple construction and so forth. So I answered the questions, his questions. And he was recording our conversation. Now I noticed that the other man who came with him was not talking, but he was listening very intently our conversation. So after the interview was over, then the reporter said he'll put this on the air on such and such date. I don't remember that date, but he said something. But anyway, now, so they were ready to leave. Now the other man, he came to me, he shook my hands, and he said, Anand, my name is Vern Burnett. I am glad that you are building the temple here in Kansas City, and you'll be doing your service in your own way. So when he said that, I mean, that I was so pleased. I didn't expect that, you know, because the other man, the reporter, asked me all kinds of questions, but this kind of appreciative words I did not hear from the reporter. But this man said to me, I mean, he said, congratulations. So I was pretty pleased, and I said, thank you, Vern. And I was so impressed by this man's sincerity. You know, I found that he said with so much sincerity that I still remember, you know, his words. Anand, I'm glad that you are building this temple here. So all I could say that, thank you, Vern. And from that day, he became one of my best friends.
Wonderful.
I still remember.
Is there has your temple community been well received in Shawnee?
Okay, that's the next story.
Okay.
all right. Now, but to answer your question, I would say this is not in the story, but I will tell you the story a little bit later.
Do you want me to take this?
No, that's all right. Okay. What I want to say, to answer your question, that the only problem that we saw once, somebody threw a hamburger beef, in our area from outside. You know, of course, you know, that was meant to be an insult to our faith. Mm. So that was the only untoward incident that happened.
And was that a while back?
That happened probably about, Vern knows about this, and you know, it was published in the paper in Kansas City Star, and oh, that's one thing, you know, that probably a story by itself. We got a lot of supportive letters of support from many faith communities.
Unexpected.
Yes.
People, yeah.
Yeah, the people, they read this story in the paper, they called the temple, and they said, oh, we are sorry that this thing happened. You know, so we got a lot of supportive calls from the from many faith communities.
It's interesting how sometimes when, and I've had other people suggest this, that sometimes a negative reaction provokes a counter-reaction that's very positive.
Oh, yes, yes. Counter-reaction in this case was very positive. And, of course, Kansas City Star also did a good job. They sent a reporter and interviewed the priest, and priest said very positive. He looked at it in a very positive way. He even said if the man wanted our God to eat beef, he could have come to me and could have said so. Why throw that way? You know, I mean, he took it in a very positive way, and that was very nice. It was all published in the paper, and so, you know, I think the great thing is we got the community support from different faith communities.
Right.
They supported us. They called us and they supported us. And the other thing, of course, I mean, this is the only incident that I can say that is a kind of untoward incident. But the other thing is, we really, our when the temple was dedicated, that was in 1991. That's the time the temple was dedicated. I was not the president at that time. So in that dedication ceremony, we published a book, you know, about the history of our temple and all that. And we got the message from the governor of Kansas, governor of Missouri, and from the city mayors, they all sent their well wishing to us. So that was great.
There's an interesting. I hadn't planned to do this, but you're speaking of this experience there with your temple on that particular piece of property. Some time ago, about that time, in the early '90s, I had come back to Kansas City from North Carolina, where my family had lived for about 8 years, but my birth family has lived in Shawnee for three or four generations, and I became real interested and involved in the historical museum across the street. In fact, I was the president of the historical museum.
Oh, you were?
Yes.
Oh.
And there used to be an old brick farmhouse behind the museum there. I don't know if it's still there or if you know which one I'm talking about. I think it's probably all
behind the temple?
No, behind the museum.
Oh, behind the museum on your side.
On the east
on the
side
outside,
of the
yeah.
museum. Of course, the school that the museum is, it was the old elementary school, the Greenwood School there, for years and years and years, back into the early part of the century. But the house that was behind it was owned by a man whose name was Del Alden. You know the road, Alden Road?
Yeah.
It was named after that family because all the main roads in Johnson County tend to be named after the farms of the people who the road ended or started at the north side.
They probably gave some land to build the road. So.
Well, I think it was just a place name. It was a way to acknowledge that, yeah, I know where the Alden farm is, it's at the end of this road, so it became the Alden Road. Anyway, to make a long story short, in the 1920s, there was a brief period where the Ku Klux Klan was active, and this Alden was a part of that Klan, and they used to have their Klan meetings out there at his farm, near the same property where your temple is, and I dare say that if it were 80 years ago, you probably would not have received a very warm welcome in that particular place.
That's true. Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, I came here in 69. I see a lot of changes in American society.
Absolutely.
In the last 33 years.
Yes. Changes for the better.
Changes for the better, yeah.
But we're learning to live with other people and welcome them. And
right.
Anyway, I thought I'd add that.
This is, in the 80s, this story is 87. At that time, of course, that place was kind of a lonely place. I mean, there's not very many people walking on the street.
On Lackman Road there.
Lackman Road, in mm-hmm. that part. That was a kind of isolated place. Now, of course, you know, they built the road, and of course they have a shopping center, big shopping center.
Yes, yeah, just you know. So to the south.
A lot of people come there. But in those days when we were building the temple, they're not very...
You're out in the middle of
fields. Yeah, sometimes. There was, yeah, it's in the middle of the farmland.
Right.
Okay, so this is the story. I wrote this story. 87, I was the president. So as a president of Hindu temple, my assignment was to take the construction pictures,